Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Dr. Debbie Green, and welcome, welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions. Oh, my goodness. I want to ask you a question. You know, how did you wake up? You know, did you rest well? Are you still feeling tired today? Did you open up this wonderful gift called the present? Yes, it is a gift. It is a gift. And I just want to encourage you today. Can I do that? Can I motivate you today? Can I let you know everything is going to be all right? Can I let you know that you are not alone in your battle? But most of all, you are an overcomer. You're greater than you can possibly imagine. If no one didn't tell you how valuable you are, Dr. Debbie Green is telling you now, you are valuable. You're worthy. You're loyal. You're respected. And you will not be taken for granted. So if you experience this in your life, make a choice today to tell yourself, I am valuable, I am loyal, I am lovable, I am overcoming every obstacle in my life. No matter what life throws at me, I am going to throw it back with all my might, and I'm going to gain my respect, not from people, places, or things, but I'm going to gain it because it's something I am worthy of. Don't take yourself out of the game. Put yourself into the game of life and allow yourself to mold your world. Isn't that interesting that we can mold our world? Yes, you can. You're like, what's all this happening around me? I don't know if I can get over this. I don't know if I can get Oh, wait a minute. Use this thing called a power pause. Pull yourself back enough, 5 or 10 minutes, get out the fire of life and say, What's next? How can I protect myself in the midst of this chaos, in the midst of this crisis, in the midst of this abuse? How can I protect myself? Oh, it's so wonderful to do that. Well, guess what? We got a great story, as I told you before, a great lineup. I'm excited about this guest that's going to be coming on. But first, I'm going to invite my wonderful co-host. There she is. Hello. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You know, when I first, before she's going to be joining us at 9 o'clock, by the way, so we get to discuss some topics before then. But when I first met her, she was such a beautiful light and still is today. You know, in the midst of everything, you would not know. She does not look like what she's been through, okay? But the greatest thing about it is, you know, her resilience. Her resilience is, it's just supernatural to me, you know. And I believe that we all have that resilience. We, you know, in the midst of where everything looks like it's falling apart or, you know, things just look like it's totally ripped up from the floor. You know that old saying, you know. But, yes, that's what it is, right? But in the midst of it all, it's like, okay, this is, let me take that next breath, you know. Oh, there it is. Okay, what should I do now? So we get to that, you know, that moment right there, and we just keep moving. Whether we want to or not, we keep moving. You know, and you know, not even what I compare it to. You remember when we used to ride a bike, like when we first got our first bike, and we had the training wheels on, you know what I'm saying? And we got on there, and then we fell off, and, you know, we started crying, but guess what? We got back on again, you know? Despite what was going on, we didn't allow it to scare us. You know, we told our mom and dad, well, I don't want the training wheels on anymore. I want to ride this bike. So I compare that to life, you know. I compare that to life because we got it in us. And, you know, if sometimes we get, you know, to the point of we think we can't go on moments, you know. We can't go on. I can't see the you know, the forest for the trees. But then something happens, and it just keeps pushing us. It's like, come on, it's going to be all right. You can make this. This thing is real. Have you ever had a moment like that? Because I know I have many times. Just give them.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan with Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Sure, if they're hearing us on. Let me see.
Okay.
Let me try this.
Okay, go ahead. Hey, guys, I'm going to keep talking. Hello? It's an echo.
All right, is that better?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So were we on or were we not?
I'm trying to get rid of the echo.
Yeah, I have my phone on. Maybe I should turn it off. Okay.
All right, maybe if you mute yours, but then maybe they can hear me. I don't know.
I just muted mine.
Uh-oh. Okay. I'm hoping that if we have any sound issues, if you're on our switchboard, you know, press 1 so you can give us some feedback.
That's right. Absolutely. Let us know, because usually Mama AZ usually have gotten on by now. Usually she taps in.
Yeah.
Yes. So, we're just checking technology. You know how technology is. Sometimes it's very unpredictable. You know, it takes us through all kinds of changes, but it's okay. If you want to call in, absolutely. You can definitely do that. You call in it. I believe that number is 347-56.
No, actually, I don't know why they said this old number on the switchboard. 515-605-9325.
Okay, say it one more time, name.
515-605-9325. 9325. Yeah, that's you want to.
Let me put that in a ticker.
Right, right. 515-605-9325.
Yeah, they need to change that,
shouldn't
they?
I know. It's been over 5 years that number has been changed. Come on, Blau Talk, get together now. It's our current number on our switchboard. So
okay.
I think a lot of us, though, because we have received observations given to us in a way that was not loving, we are unaware that we're doing the same thing to the children that we're raising that are hearing that same criticism without the message of I care about you.
Yes.
What
yes.
we're hear what they're hearing it is you're defective. And so that's what they're receiving, even though that's not our intention. But that's
right.
how it was given to us. So we really have to change the way we give feedback to people so that it doesn't come across as harsh, unloving, condemning, judgmental. Because that's the way we received criticism. And we're thinking that that is the way it's supposed to be,
uh-huh.
but that isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's always supposed to be done with love. It's always supposed to be done with the message of, I care about you. I want you to be your best self. I want to help you over this challenge you're going through, as opposed to there's something wrong with you and I need to tell you so you can fix yourself.
I know. Pressure and correction doesn't always work.
No, it does not.
No.
And I've seen situations where athletes maybe have a coach that fusses at them and, you know, yeah, you might get out and do your best, but even at the end of the game, even after you win the game, you still feel bad.
Yeah.
Because of every harsh thing said energetically, it affects you. It affects your energy body, which then affects your physical body. So you can have people that might be achieving things, but they're under such stress because the fear is they're going to receive this negative, condemning energy if they make a mistake. That's not the way you want to feel. You know, I find it interesting, Simone Biles, brilliant gymnast, she decided to withdraw from some of the competitions because there was so much pressure on her. And the thing is, and that, right after that, she did a gymnastic demonstration where there was no pressure, it was just for the fun of it. She enjoyed it. She said, I had so much fun. So when a competition gets to the point where doing what you love to do is not fun because you have to fear the condemnation of people if you don't perform to perfection, you have to think, is this a good thing that people are creating this kind of anxiety? Sports events, you know, athletic competitions, and the end of it, it should be fun, even if you don't, you know, so-called win or get the top points, but you should have the joy in participating, knowing that people will love you whether you win or lose. But if the message you're always given is, we'll only love you if you win, well, that takes away the joy, because then you have the anxiety of having people withdraw love from you, criticize you, condemn you. So the way we think we're supposed to motivate people through this harsh criticism, that's incorrect. It's always supposed to be done with love. Anything you say to people that's for the purpose of helping them to become their best self must be said with love, with it being clear that you're saying it out of a spirit of love. I care about you. That makes all the difference in the world.
It does. And it's so simple to say, right?
Yes.
It's so simple to do. I mean, again, you know, we get these hang-ups, and these hang-ups tend to cause us more problems in the end. It takes away our joy. It takes away our peace. And we don't make a conscious decision, you know, should I keep living like this, you know? I mean, when is it going to change in my life? It changes when you change.
Yeah.
If you keep doing the same things over and over again, you're only going to get the same results.
Same results.
And that is true insanity, by the way.
Doing the same thing the same way, expecting
different results.
It just
doesn't change any other way until you come to a point of reference and make a decision that, you know, I need to do something different.
Right.
And, you know, and we often think, you know, our creator is, you know, oh, well, I'm just going to wait on God to do it for me. That, you know, that's a whole other teaching for another day. He's giving you the opportunity to make a choice. When you make that choice, then that's when life starts to change. Otherwise, it just stays the same, you know. So switch the suits, you know, switch the suits. That right there, I love switching to foods. I mean, from bone bath to, you know, going to get a pedicure, you know, a massage, you know,
yeah,
just giving my mind some peace,
yeah,
and meditation.
Treat yourself to something.
Maybe I just don't want to say nothing, you know?
Yes. Yes. And we all deserve to be soothed. We really do. We deserve gentle treatment. We deserve a loving, kind voice. I've known people that have not ever had a loving, kind voice in their lives. Everything has always been harsh, critical, condemnation.
Yeah.
And that affects you. Over time, that affects your mind, your heart, your spirit. And I've known people that are very high achievers, but the motivation is the fear of that condemning voice, might be of a very stern father, a very strict mother, but it's always that fear that if I don't perform in a state of excellence, I'm going to be condemned by people that I love and it's going to hurt me. And I don't think that's the best motivation, the best reason to be motivated. I think the motivation should be love and joy. I want to do my best because it makes me happy that I'm able to be of service in such a magnificent way. Like you said the other day, human excellence. I want to display human excellence because it brings me joy. Not people will condemn me if I don't do things right or if I make a mistake or if I don't win or, you know. We have to change how we motivate. And I look at our school system, and it's built on this very harsh way of giving negative feedback to children. And it's in our schools that we're often, our spirits are broken because unless a teacher has a different way of thinking where she's not following that same pattern, most of the time teachers use fear of public humiliation as the way to coerce students to try harder. You know, when you have to read out loud and you stumble over the words and there's this fear that if you mispronounce something, you're going to be ridiculed as not as intelligent or condemned as you know, lesser abilities. And so this whole dynamic, when learning should be a fun adventure, it can become stressful to somebody who might be struggling with something because of the fear of public humiliation. That has to change.
True.
There has to be an idea put forth that we're a team. We're working this together. And if you're having difficulty, we're going to all work with you until you reach your highest level of achievement because I care about you.
Yes.
We care about you. So we want you to be your best. So if there's an area where you're stumbling, we'll all get together and help you so that you can get better. Now, how encouraging would that be? I mean, to go to school and know that everybody loves you and everybody wants you to be your best and everybody's going to cheer you on and if you're struggling, they're going to help. It'll be a whole different vibration. And that whole building, it'll be a whole different experience.
Yeah.
instead of school being this awful place where you're always worried about you're going to be laughed at and condemned and ridiculed, it would be a place of joy where you know you're loved and people want you to excel and learn and expand your mind and discover your creative energies and all of those things. This is what we have to change. We have to change our focus on you must achieve, otherwise you're going to lose something. Somebody's going to take something from you. You won't get hired. You won't get admitted to the school. You're going to be a lesser person in society, and people are going to laugh at you because you'll be homeless. You won't have money. I mean, all of that kind of negative motivation has to end because
yes.
It isn't healthy, it's unloving, and it produces people who act out of fear.
True.
Fear
that's
that they're going to be condemned, discarded, ridiculed, not loved. So
that's
the
so
fear
true.
Of loss of love can no longer be why we do things. The love should always be there. The message should always be, I care about you.
Yes. Yes.
That means changing the whole way we operate in society. And some people get it. Some people are living that way all the time, yourself. You know, some people, that's how you live. So that's what you project. But people who don't know, because that's not what they have received, they have to be retaught. Taught how to operate from a place of love and support and encouragement and not condemnation and fear of loss, fear of ridicule, fear of rejection. That can't be why we do things. You don't go to work because you're afraid you're going to get fired. You go to work because you enjoy the services you're giving to the people whose lives you touch. You enjoy giving. You enjoy expressing your creative energy to make life better for people. That should be the drive that makes you get up and go to work every day. Not, well, if I don't go, I'm going to get fired and I won't have money to pay my bills and I'll be homeless and people will despise me. That cannot be the reason why you go to work every day.
As I said, inner peace comes outward.
Yes.
It comes outward. Sometimes, you know, you don't have to say a word. Somebody can just see it glowing from you.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, every time I see you, I get a good feeling. Because that inner peace is
yes.
the one that keeps us going each and every day.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, it's an option to have peace. And it's an option
right.
not to have peace.
Right. It's
you know?
Choice. Yeah.
And, you know, we find peace in many different things. But really and truly, we look on the outside. Most of us. We look on the outside. If my husband is happy with me, I'll have inner peace. If my children love me, I will have inner peace.
Mm.
If I do good on my job, if I get raises, I will have inner peace. All of this, you know, it's always something has to happen or something you're looking for.
On the outside, controlled by somebody else.
Before you can just say, no, I'm just going to have inner peace,
yeah,
period.
I'm going to choose to be at peace.
Yeah, put a dot on it. You
yeah.
know, put a period there.
Yeah.
I choose to have inner peace.
Right.
No matter what's happening
what
in my life, whatever I don't have, whatever's leaving, whatever's coming, whatever change may be, I rest in contentment.
Yeah.
And I will have inner peace.
Yeah.
I cannot allow anything to take it away. Because it doesn't belong to anyone but me.
Right.
You know?
That's such a
we can't give it away. Why do we that's the worst thing to do is give it away. Because no one can tear it from your hands.
Right.
But you can stop and you can let it go.
Right. Right. I mean, people don't realize you really do have control over your state of being. You
yes.
really do have control
oh, God,
over your mood.
Yes.
Nobody can make you mad. You can choose to hold anger at someone for something, but it's your choice to hold on to that anger. They did not make you mad. Whatever action they did, that's just the action that they did. You chose to tell yourself a story that made you mad. It's just like the thing about the phone call. You chose
yes.
to create a scenario in your mind about that person. You chose to become angry. They did not make you angry. Well, they should have returned my call. Well, they should have answered the phone. Well, you don't know what's happening in their life. And even if they just felt like, well, I don't feel like talking to anybody right now. they had that choice, and that's what they wanted to do with their time. You can't decide what someone else should do with their own time. It's their choice. And if you're choosing to get angry at them because they're not doing what you think they should be doing,
yes,
that's the choice that you made to become angry at someone else's behavior. They didn't make you mad.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's overflowing.
Yes.
You know,
it's a choice. You know, you could live in love for everybody, and no matter what they do, and that's really the ultimate thing that we're here to learn how to do.
To love unconditionally.
That means it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you smell like. It doesn't matter how your body is shaped. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter how you talk. I love you because I choose to have love inside of me.
Yes.
I'm choosing to love. It's
wow. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with our beautiful guest. And just tune in, guys, because this is going to be a wonderful story you don't want to miss.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, jobs, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com. And I'm Viato.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jodi Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
back. This is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Deb, and I am Dr. Deb with my wonderful host right there, is Naima Latif. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Again, you know, we have a wonderful guest backstage. I'm about to introduce her to you. Her name is Carolyn McKenzie. Carolyn McKenzie, and she is a beautiful person. I've been knowing her for quite some time, and she's just going to tell us her story, how she took the worst situations imaginable and turned them into something triumphant and beautiful. So here she is. Oh. Hello.
Hello there, Dr. Deb and Naima.
Hello, hello.
And rising, how are you?
I'm doing fine, how are you?
Fantastic.
Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. And this is my wonderful co-host, Naima. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I think she's having a little bit of buffering problems. Hopefully she'll come back. Oh, my goodness. I tell you, technology, y'all,
that's what it is, technology. But I'm grateful for what we have, because isn't it wonderful how we can connect with anybody in the world, everywhere?
Okay, we can't see you.
We can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's a wonderful day. We can gather all over the world, you know, and just be sitting right next to each other.
Now, you know what this is preparing us for? This is actually preparing us for the time when we are able to connect telepathically all over the world, because we do have that capability, but we lost that capability because in order to be able to communicate on that level, the vibration that you emit can only be love.
Right.
So once we're all operating at that vibration, we'll be able to send and receive thoughts. So this is like the precursor to that. So right now we can see and hear how people think. Just look at all the things that people spread on the internet. Some things are awful. You don't want to share those things, but that's where some people's minds are. So they will take this wonderful tool and project things that are very unpleasant. And then you have other people who project loving, kind, uplifting things. So
this is
showing us where we are as individuals. What is your state of consciousness? We can see it. So at some point, we'll all be at that high vibration, and we can just send and receive thoughts and images all the time, and they won't be damaging the way they are now on the internet from some people who just haven't evolved to that state of understanding yet.
That's true. That's so true. Absolutely. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into our next hour with our wonderful guest, Carolyn McKenzie, and she is a resilient one. I tell you, you know, every time I think about your story, it inspires me so much. And, you know, because, you know, I've been a partaker in it for so long, but at the same token, it is something that is overwhelming, but at the same time, it's beautiful. You know, you can have beauty in your ashes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can have beauty in your attributes. So I'm just going to give the mic to you and just let you go ahead and give us your story.
Okay. Well, good morning to everyone. As Dr. Depp said, my name is Carolyn McKenzie. I'm the founder of Mental Health in the Underserved Communities. Mm-hmm. And that organization was born out of a tragedy that Dr. Depp, you know, mentioned, and I'm going to take you back a little bit so I can bring you up to speed. My brother was 16 and his girlfriend was 14 when they got pregnant, and I was a senior in college, graduating, and so, of course, they could not afford, you know, a new baby, so my mom and I made a pact, and, you know, we took care of her. So I got my first job, and a big chunk of it went to, you know, taking care of the baby, and my mom babysat while I went to work. So long story short, she and I, which the older she got, the closer we got as friends. you know, not only was I her mama aunt, I was her best friend. And she was very successful in high school, you know, top grades in college, top grades. She had some of the best jobs at her age, broke records. And then she went into business, and she wanted to open up a learning center. So I set it up for her. I got her some funding, and she was rolling. She was doing extremely well. She married her baby's dad, and she also was raising her nephew. And the business was successful, but she started exhibiting signs of paranoia. She was hallucinating some, and she just cried out to me, and I wanted to get to the bottom of it. So I told her to tell her husband to bring her to me, because I still live in Atlanta. She still lives in our hometown. So the first couple days, I just let her sleep because she was just so feeble. You know, she's, you know, so feeble, you know, outgoing, but clingy and feeble. So I just let her rest. So I was going to reorganize her board of directors so they could take on more responsibility so she wouldn't have that much stress on her because she was working a lot. So we went through all of that, the reorganization of the board, you know, reassignment of tasks, and we were giving money back to funders because it was too much work for her. And we had gone to the bank and got a cashier's check, and I had planned to take it back to one of the funding agencies that morning. So I was up getting dressed, and I told her, I said, babe, I'm going to jump in the shower, and when I get in the car, I'll call you, and we can talk, which is what we did every day. We would talk every day on the phone when she was going to work and I was going to work. So I'm in the shower, and a few minutes after I get in the shower, she opens the shower door, and she's standing there with the largest butch knife from my kitchen. So I was just really stunned, and, you know, I couldn't, there was no time to think. And the words that came out of her mouth were, I am going to kill you and kill myself. So before I could process that thought, the first stab was to the left side of my head. And blood just started spewing out and everything. And then she got in the shower, and it was a struggle, and I was trying to take the knife, and I was calling her name, and I fell in the shower, and then we fell out of the shower, and I was on the bathroom floor, and she was on top of me, and it was quite an ordeal. I mean, it was anybody's worst nightmare. And I kept trying to reach out to her, and then she was grabbing everything that she could and crashing it on my head, candle jars, and I managed to take the knife, but she squeezed it in my hand, and she severed the tendons of my right index finger and deep cuts to my right hand, and I'm right-handed, so I had to learn how to write left-handed for a long time. So anyway, I thought that it was over because she was choking me, and I couldn't breathe, and I just said, well, God, this is it, so please tell everybody I said goodbye. And the next thing I know, she was lifted up like, you know, the spirit just raised her. And she had a smile on her face. And she got up and she walked out. So I crawled over to the door and I locked it. And the next thing I knew, I woke up and was blood everywhere. So I must have fallen and passed out. And then, and I go into like recover mode. God, you know, I'm bleeding profusely. What am I going to do? So the spirit said, the shower is still running, so get back in the shower, turn it on cold so the cold water could slow down the bleeding. But it was painful because, you know, it was hurting because I had cuts all over. So I did that for a while, and then I sat on the edge of the bathtub, and I just prayed and said, God, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to bleed to death. I am not going to die. So finally, you know, I said, God, it's safe to go outside because I didn't know where she was because at that point I was too weak to fight back. So I built up enough. I went for my cell phone, and she had taken my cell phone. because it was in the bathroom with me. And I opened my bathroom door, which was adjacent to my bedroom because it was a master bath bed, and I locked the door that led from my bedroom to the house, the rest of the house, and I slipped on my PJs and I climbed out of the window. Thank God I had moved into a one-story house. Because if I had been living on a two- or three-story house, man, I don't know how I would have gotten out of the house. And so I went to my neighbors. They wrapped me up in towels and everything and gave me water because I was so dehydrated. And I was, like, a couple minutes from the fire station, a couple minutes from the police station. So within minutes, they were there, and the ambulance was there. And I kept telling them, please go in the house and find my baby because she said that she was going to hurt herself. So they said, well, we're going to go in and rush you to, you know, the hospital, and then, you know, we'll take care of her once we find her. So I'm in the hospital, and they're stitching me up and police talking to me and taking pictures and everything. So my family came, and I was trying to figure out how did they get here so quickly. Come to find out, she had been calling that morning back home to her family, telling them that I was trying to hurt her. So they were concerned. So they were calling my family and their family members, and they were on their way up here to find out what was going on. So that was a good thing. So they were en route. So that's how they got here so quickly. And so I called one of my girlfriends and told her to call my sister so they would know where to come once they got to town. And come to find out, they didn't want to tell me, but they had no choice but to tell me that she killed herself. So she went into my hall closet, and I had a space heater on the top shelf. So she took all the coats out, and she wrapped the cord around the chef so it could be tight, and then wrapped it around her neck and pushed forward. And I didn't know that it only takes seconds to cut off the wind supply. And you could die in less than a minute. You know, isn't that something?
Ooh.
Yep.
I thought it took a long time.
Asphyxiated.
Wow.
So I'm in the hospital, and I'm just really just confused and just crying out to God, you know, now what am I supposed to do with this? You know, this is the love of my life. So then I said, well, I know one thing I can do is create an agency in her honor. So that way she would never die. You know, I loved her too much for her to die and leave me. So I figured if I created an agency in her honor, you know, to help remove the stigma and break the chains of silence of mental illness. Now, she was living in silence. She was having problems but didn't want to talk to anybody about those problems until they became unbearable. And had I known, I could have gotten help much sooner. And had I known, I would have just taken her right to the psychiatrist to be examined so he could have done something, put her on medication. But right before she had the psychotic break, she had been awake for almost a week without 1 ounce of sleep.
Wow.
So she had, her brain was oxygen deprived.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why she was hallucinating and she was paranoid. They gave her, you know, some sedatives, and I think that made it worse. Caused her to go into that, you know, she had a psychotic break. She had a break with reality. So out of the mental health in underserved communities, we created an annual mental health fair. But when COVID came, we had to change it to a forum, and we had to go virtual. We also had a group therapy session called Let's Talk About It, where we would bring people together who were suffering from mental illness and their loved ones who were taking care of them so they could get, you know, group therapy, and they could learn how the caretakers could get tips on how to take care of the loved ones. And they would bring people who were living in denial so they could hear from other people who had gone into the recovery mode, so that would give them encouragement to get help. So that's what we've been doing since 2014. We also created a mental health providers network where we recruited a lot of mental health providers of color because, you know, people relate to people who look like them. So we wanted to make sure that we had, you know, black people and Latinos and Asians in the network, so when people called us, we can refer them to someone of their ethnicity. turn our grief, you know, into victory. You know, I could have just said, woe me, and just been depressed for the rest of my life, or I could fight back and do something positive to help other people in her honor, because she was such a delightful young woman, very beautiful inside and out. Everyone loved her. So to this day, you know, it still hurts, but I've learned how to coexist with the pain, you know, and turn the pain into purpose.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, no matter how many times I hear that story, Carolyn, it is always overwhelming, but most of all, I see so many dynamics in that. You know, I see the love, I see the over abundance of awareness, but, and I also see the rescue. Because there's certain areas, and it's you know, when one can take the worst situations and turn them into something totally different, then that's when everything starts to transform. And you take the power from, you know, the negative, and you put it into the positive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, you know, you allow God to, you know, the Creator to give you a source to put that energy, you know, instead of allowing something to eternally cause a rupture, you took it and you pushed it outward to create something for rescue, not just for, you know, the rescue of that very moment or rescuing yourself, but also to rescue other people, because there's someone listening right now that has been depressed, that have been going through, you know, certain situations where they feel they have no hope or don't know which way to turn. But, you know, again, that resilience is always there, you know, and I love that you took that and took it to another a level. I want to ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, you know, have you ever, you know, experienced any other type of emotional trauma because of it? I mean, like, you know, something that would happen in life that has nothing to do with that, but, you know, how do you handle your triggers?
Yeah, it's post, you know, traumatic stress disorder. I suffered from that. So I just had to learn to challenge my energy, you know, into something positive. You know, it took a long time before I could really chop up stuff.
Yeah.
Because every time I saw a butcher knife, you know, I would have a flashback. It took a while before I could live in my house again by myself, you know. It just takes time. In therapy, I had to go through, you know, intensive therapy, you know, psychotherapy, because it just really affected me on every level. You know, it affected me spiritually, mentally, psychologically, and, of course, physically. I had to take off from work 6 months to recover. My right arm and hand were in a cast for months. I couldn't write with my right hand, so I had to learn to write with my left hand. So whenever, you know, I learned to recognize the triggers, and then I would just get quiet, take deep breaths, you know, go for long walks, try to do something relaxing, like go get massages or go out to dinner with friends, and just to do something to get my mind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to learn how to derail, you know, those triggers. But it's not easy. It's not easy overcoming, you know, a traumatic experience. And some people don't. And some people succumb, and they commit suicide as a result of trauma.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. I like that you didn't become a victim. Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway.
Empowering, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You said she was sleep deprived for about a week. Do you know what caused that chain of events that was there some anxiety she was going through, or, you know, what created that, I guess, initial situation that affected her brain?
You know, after that, I did a lot of research, and I realized that she had been exhibiting symptoms, but because she didn't know anything about mental illness, and the people around her didn't recognize the symptoms until after the fact, because they would say, you know, I did notice the last few weeks that, you know, her demeanor changed and, you know, things of that sort. She had a chemical imbalance, because that's the root cause of mental illness, is, you know, chemical imbalance. So you have a chemical imbalance in your brain, and depending upon what chemicals are depleted determines the outcome or your diagnosis. And she apparently had, you know, underlying symptoms of schizophrenia. Mm. And because she had gone from her full-time job to a full-time business, those stressors caused that chemical imbalance to just kind of go into full blast. And she just lost her footing. Mm. And when you can't sleep, that's a telltale sign right there that, you know, there's something going on. I mean, you know, she did sleep a wink.
I think that's a lesson in that for people who drive themselves. And I've been at that point in various points of my life, just on overdrive where you feel like, and we were talking about this earlier, the motivation is fear of failure and fear of loss of love if you fail. Mm-hmm. So you drive yourself and drive yourself, not sleeping, not eating, and, of course, you're going to create a chemical imbalance in your brain, in your body.
Mm-hmm.
But our society tends to reward the overachiever or the overambitious, the overworker, as if, oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, they stayed up 72 hours to get that project done. Oh, yeah, give them an award, you know, and we tend to encourage people to abuse themselves in order to achieve something. And that's the kind of thinking that has to stop because it's hurtful. And, you know, once there's a chemical imbalance in your brain, it affects everything. And because we even don't allow people to talk about mental illness or emotional distress, they feel like they have to, that to talk about it is a sign of weakness. And if you're encouraged to be strong, you know, and you have to persevere and be this superhuman, it'll break you. And usually you're broken before people realize you're broken because you have to keep hiding it. So how do we change the dynamics of the society so that we're not encouraging people to abuse themselves in order to achieve what we have placed as the idea of success? How do we just change our whole set of standards in judging people so that we're not judging people?
We have to keep talking about it. You notice a lot of professional athletes have come out. You know, they go, you know, I'm not going to play in this tennis match. I'm not going to perform in the Olympics, you know, gymnastics. So they have been coming out, you know, saying that it's not worth it. I need a mental health check. I need a mental health week. I need a mental health break. So we need more renowned people coming forward and talking about it because, you know, the singers, the rappers, the actors, they need to just talk more. And then we need to do it amongst ourselves, with our family members, you know, with our coworkers. And there has to be a whole lot of training. You know, there are some toolkits out there that groups are using for churches so they can learn to recognize the symptoms of their members when they come to talk to the clergy. A lot of churches have retained the professional services of their members who are mental health professionals so they can feel more comfortable, so that their members can feel more comfortable talking to someone they know. And we just have to keep putting the word out there and letting people know that it is okay not to be okay.
Okay not to be
okay. You know, and you have to have a balance. You cannot work 72 straight hours. You can, but you're endangering, you know, your own livelihood, you know, your mental and your physical livelihood. So we have to start rewarding people for learning how to have balance in their lives.
That is so true. That is so true. We have a viewer, and Carolyn Hunter with No More Fears, No More Tears, No More Fears, USA. She says, may God bless you, Ms. Carolyn. I totally agree. We must educate our community about mental health and also pay attention to one another's mental behaviors. Speak with love to our negative change in behavior. I think that is so real. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for offering that, because that is something that we should do, not just for mental illness, but whenever we have a moment, if we feel stuck in a particular crisis, disappointment, hardship, whatever, we should have a moment of mental health break, which is, you know, give yourself a moment to get out of that and find out what you need and give you what you need. That's, you know, our nation in humanity, we are the most self-neglected humanity I've ever seen. You know, a lot of people, we just self-neglect. You know, we don't fulfill the things that we need to fulfill. And we find out when the waters get high above our heads, then we're asking for help. But when it was around our knees or our chest, we didn't say anything, you know. So I think, again, we should practice self-monitoring and self-rescue. It should be something you do often. So if you do have a mental illness, which is called a biochemical shift in your mind, okay, notice those symptoms. I'm sure, I'm positive that she had symptoms before becoming this, you know, where it comes this intensity of severity of mental psychosis. You know, your body gives off chemistry. It gives off signs. It gives off feelings, thoughts. All of these things let you know when something is getting ready to happen. But, again, we're not proactive enough to say, okay, let me slow down. What's this going on? Why am I not sleeping? I haven't slept in 24 hours. So, okay, here's the second day I have not slept. Okay, that's a problem. That means something's going on with the brain where it's not giving a signal to the body to shut down, to even, you know, go through the normal processes. So she just kept going. She kept going, thinking it was normal. No, it's not normal. It's not normal.
And some of the common symptoms, like clinical depression. See, there's environmental depression and there's clinical depression. So let's say that you lost your job. You know, you go through a process of grief, and that's normal. But if you get to a point where you can't get out of the bed, you know, you have no desire to take a bath, you know, you lose weight excessively or you gain weight excessively, you have no mental energy, that's clinical.
Mm.
So that's when you have to get medical attention.
Wow.
And that requires medication.
Yes.
You know, to help, you know, get your body, your brain, chemistry back in balance. And that's called clinical depression.
Absolutely.
I was just going to ask, so you're saying clinical depression is when, you know, you have those symptoms, you can't get out of bed, can't, you know, don't want to eat, or whatever the case may be, but it's a sign that your brain chemistry has changed, and that is clinical depression.
Exactly.
Wow.
Environmental depression is something, you know, externally happens. You lost your job, you broke up with your boyfriend, you know, those kind of things, and that brings about normal sadness. And you learn to get over that.
Does it change your brain chemistry, though, if you've gone through a really heartbreak situation, you're really sad, crying all the time?
No, you're just emotionally distraught.
Right.
You know, but when it's clinical,
you know, that's when your brain chemistry is altered. And you don't have enough serotonin and dopamine in your brain.
Serotonin and dopamine in your brain.
To function.
So how do you know when you've gotten to that point? I know we got to take a break, but well, maybe I'll ask that point when we come back.
We'll be right back, guys.
Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Green. We were just continue the interview and most of all listen to a wonderful story of grief to victory. So with our guest, Carolyn McKenzie, the CEO of the Mental Health and Undeserved Community. So again, welcome and thank you so much for being with us. And I think the last question that we had here was how do you know that it is a clinical mental illness versus an emotional distraught? So I think you're about to answer that, and it's a environmental. But if I can add to it very quickly, the difference is the ADLs, activity of daily living, get interrupted when there is a diagnosis of depression or anxiety. Your ADL, everything that you do, getting up in the morning, getting dressed, answering telephones. I mean, the diagnosis doesn't become confirmed until it's 2 weeks or better of the same consistency of activity. 2 weeks or better, that's when you then have a diagnosis of depression. The environmental, like you said, stimuli or influencers from a broken relationship or being in a, you know, a domestic violence or some type of environmental dysfunction, you become emotionally, you know, ingrained in that area and influence, and we call that situational depression. Situational depression is episodic. That means there's an episode that has caused interruption. So, yes, ma'am, you can also elaborate on that, Ms. Carolyn.
And then I guess we got to take our caller after that.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So, you know, we want people, you know, to understand that, you know, if it's clinical, that means that you need to seek medical attention. You need to, you know, go talk to your primary care doctor, get a referral to go see a psychiatrist so you can get a proper diagnosis and get on the proper treatment, because it's very dangerous to be in a clinically depressed situation without treatment.
Absolutely. Okay, we can go ahead and take our call. I believe the mic is open. That number is...
863, area code 863.
Yes, area code 863-816-5944. Your mic is open.
Yeah, good morning, Grand Rising. I'm listening to the dialogue, and I'm by no stretch of the imagination, because mental health is a very broad topic. But from the way I'm looking at it, one of my high school basketball coaches, they didn't use it. Well, back then they weren't, the term mental health wasn't as used prevalent as it is today. But he had us players read a book, it's a self-help book called Psycho-Cybernetics by Dr. Maxwell Maltz. And basically that whole book deals with how to basically change or adjust your mental health. So I've read a slew of books like that, because there's a bunch of books online and in the bookstores that, like Positive Mental Attitude, written by, what's his name, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. So books like that, I mean, once again, this is my interpretation of mental health. I know it's a broad topic. I also look at, you know, what are you eating? I know one time when I wasn't drinking a lot of water, I bought a liter of pineapple soda from 7-Eleven, and it was 99 cents. So I realized, like, about 12 hours after I started drinking that, for some reason, I was mad, and then I thought to myself, I don't have any reason to be mad. What did I do? And I thought, well, you know, it's that pineapple soda that was loaded down with all the sugar. So I think diet, substances or substance abuses that you put into your system, people that take prescription medication. Like, I don't take anything that says could cause suicidal thoughts. Mm. I don't deal with it. So I tend to, you know, to use food as my medicine as much as possible. And then as far as success, you know, there are different metrics of success. My vision of success might be different from yours, so there are different metrics of it. And then I think a lot of people, and is this mental health or not, how you look at a situation. For some people, we've all heard the term, is the glass half empty or is it always half full? For me, I'm looking at the glass is always half full. And then I'm looking at when something bad or challenging happens in my life, I'm looking at it as, you know what, I'm right in the middle of an opportunity. So I think a lot deals with that. And then lastly, just closing out, I think the circle of friends, because, you know, when you need a pick-me-up, I think we all do this. You know, I called some friends I was down like, what was it, yesterday or 2 days ago? So for a pick-me-up, I got on the phone and called some friends that I know that would, you know, pick me up. And just one good example of it without getting into religion, if you look at, you know, Jesus, whether you believe in that character, figure in history or not, the first thing he did was he got those 12 disciples. There were no miracles performed until he gathered that 12 together. And he didn't get them all in one swell swoop. So one of them sold them out at the end. But essentially, I'm looking at, for your mental health, you got to do as much as possible as far as diet and surrounding yourself with the right amount of people. I know it can go deeper than that, where some people can't get out of bed. But sometimes you might have to coax that person, you know, get up, get in a wheelchair, and sit them in the sunshine, and that might help spruce them up. Anyway, those are my comments.
Thank you. And you're right, you know, one must encourage oneself. So whatever has to change in their environment, that, you know, because, see, that's self-help you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? When you're not sitting there just sulking in your feeling, in your thoughts, you know, you're looking for other ways to move and to break free of that same, you know, again, that heaviness that mental illness brings, because what it does, it brings on a heaviness. It brings on a forsakenness. It brings on a period of even loneliness. I've had patients to tell me I got everybody around me and everybody loves me, but I still feel alone, you know? Mm. And that is because it's the mind frame. The mind frame of the mindset is so critical into overcoming, because, you know, some people are like, well, how can I think quick on my feet? You know, well, I told them, I said, you have to use your power of pause, take a moment, and ask yourself, again, how can I rescue myself even when I don't feel rescued, you know, and take it to the next level. And when that don't work, do something else, surrounding yourself with good people. People that are loving, and taking yourself out of the dynamic of whatever it is, even if you don't know. I tell them to go take a walk, you know what I'm saying? Go sit in the park. Anything but just sit in your room, lay in your bed, and with the shutters closed, turn the phone off. No, the brain can't do nothing. It cannot. It can only do and operate under the same facet of what you've given it. And so most of the time it goes back to past issues where you most pay the most attention, and that's when fear is, because that's what fear does. Fear gains our attention very, very quickly, without a moment's second. We're right back into this traumatic era of our life, and there he goes. Here comes the thought. And before you realize the hours, days, weeks, months have passed, and you're still in that same mindset. So
right.
Thank you so much for encouraging words. I appreciate you greatly. Go ahead.
I think something you said is critical also, the people you surround yourself with, because you have to choose people that are going to be uplifting. Sometimes our longtime friends, they mean well, but not everybody can be the one that we call on if we're feeling bad. Sometimes they can just make you feel worse. So I think it's a good point that he made about calling those friends that you know can pick you up, call that one that's silly and makes you laugh all the time, because laughter actually changes brain chemistry. So if you got a friend that jokes all the time and they just make you laugh, that's the one you want to call when you're down, because you need a laugh. You need, like you said, the serotonin. You need the dopamine. You need your brain chemistry to be altered by laughter. So,
yes.
You know, don't call the one that's going to say, yeah, girl, it's really bad, ain't it? Oh, he did you wrong. Oh, yeah, you ain't never had no money. I mean, don't call the one that's going to, you know, add to and you know, co-sign on your sadness and grief and emotional upset. Call the one that's going to make a joke about it and get you laughing, and, you know, because that's what's going to change your brain chemistry. But I know we all have a tendency to want to kind of wallow in the sadness. That's when you need other people to jerk you out of it. And
yeah.
I think that's, you know,
yeah.
Find that friend that makes you laugh, because that's medicine. What is it? Laughter is the best medicine.
It is. It is. So we're coming up on our final hour here. I just want to ask Carolyn if you have any final words, or if you're doing anything that's in the community that you want to just kind of update us on.
We don't have anything on the calendar right now, but I do want to say that in some instances, you know, mental illness is hereditary. So we need to check our family history. That means that you have a predisposition of having an episode. So it's very important to check your family history. See, in the African-American community, it's not talked about, but if you were to do some research, you may remember that they talked about Uncle Joe, you know, who never came out of his room, you know, or grandmama, you know, talked to herself, and she talked to somebody else that wasn't in the room, and, you know, and et cetera. So mental illness can be passed on through the genes. Mm-hmm. So if you have a predisposition, that means that, you know, you're more prone
than
your colleague of having, you know, a mental illness.
I have a question about that, because I have a loved one who's concerned about having children because of mental illness that is in the family of her, you know, her partner in law. And something that Ellie said about, you know, the using food as medicine. Can you, if you know that you have perhaps a history of mental illness, and you know that you need to be aware of how your brain chemistry is affected, can you be preemptive in that? You know, like if you were to say, okay, we're going to have children, and yes, that might be a genetic thing, but we can offset that by making sure we are conscious of how that child is fed, how they eat, how their body is nourished so that there are no chemical imbalances.
Exactly, and you just keep a close eye. And if you start seeing signs of mental illness, you just seek professional help immediately.
You got another caller on?
Yes, we do. Caller 771-801-7883. Your mic is open. Go right ahead.
Yeah, this is Maika, Grand Rising. I was calling because I was talking with an associate the other day, and we brought up the children who were born with this crack, and now a lot of them are adults. Is there a way to recognize somebody who was a crack baby as an adult? Are there signs and symptoms that we can look for in them?
You say a crack baby. So are you referring to the mother? Excuse me. Let me go back so you can understand what I'm saying. The mother.
I guess it would be the mother was carrying the baby when she was on crack.
Okay, got you. All right. So yes, ma'am. That being the case, the symptoms of the baby is usually really chronic colic.
Colic is when they can't stop crying, is that what
it is? Right. They're very emotional. They're very hypersensitive. It's hard to cuddle. It's hard to calm down. And they have what they call jitters. You may see their hands start to shake. Body trembles. It seems like they will have like a chill on their bodies. In their chronic episodes, they literally start to shake like they're almost seizure-like. Usually it's hard to get them to suckle, which is if the mom is breastfeeding, she would have to wait till the baby calms down enough before the baby can latch on. Because in the baby's brain,
I'm saying as adults, who do they? How? What type of symptoms do these babies who went through all what you just said how do they act as an adult now? Because so many of them are adults now. How do you know when you run into one?
Yes, ma'am. Hold on 1 second. But that's how they start off. That's why I'm saying this is what happens with the baby. So as they get older, you know what I'm saying, they are more emotional than most. They're more hypersensitive than most. They could possibly even have a diagnosis of ADD or ADHD, possible mental illness such as bipolar, even schizophrenic episodes as well with psychosis. If they are having these symptoms of delusions, hallucinations, then they definitely need to then get medical help as soon as possible, as well as psychiatric treatment, so they can get on the right medication. And psychologically, they need to definitely get therapy so that they can reformat and learn how to respond instead of react to outside stimuli, even the outside, any environmental areas. So we only got maybe 5 more minutes before the show ends. They need to seek help. They need to seek, immediate mental, psychological treatment, as well as, you know, get therapy, because they're more emotional than most. And it's hard for them to get through life, you know, without any time there's a trigger. Life will just, cause them to have the worst episodes. Everything is blown out of control because they have problems controlling their emotions.
Thank you so much. Well, is there a thing called the opioid babies? Because opioid is such a big problem. Are there symptoms for babies coming out of mothers who are on opioids? Or what is this called?
Opiates. Yes, ma'am. It is the same symptoms.
Wow.
Very heavy, but most of all, it's the same symptoms. Same symptoms.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
If you check NAMI, it's NAMI, National, I'm trying to remember exactly.
Alliance of Mental Illness.
Say it again, Carolyn.
National Alliance of Mental Illness.
Thank you. NAMI has a lot of information on that as well. If you could check that website. And so thank you, everyone, for joining in. Thank you, Kelly McKenzie.
You're welcome.
We're so thrilled to have you, and continue efforts of wonderful victories, as you always are. Thank you so much.
Goodbye, everybody.
See you next time with Soulful Solution with Dr. Dell. Have a blessed and exciting day.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Jeong Kujung. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan,
Shukriya, Afghanistan. Tashakkur, Saudi Arabia. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.